Welcome back, and we trust you are getting blessed with this our Bible study, online Bible study, Ask the Pastor. And we pray that the Lord will keep opening our eyes even as we continue fellowship this evening. Okay, let's have the next question. Brother Zach from Cameroon. Sir, please, according to the tradition of my kindred, I am to be crowned as the head of my family. And before this is done, there are sacrifices required, such that fowls are sacrificed. As a Christian, I'm the only person in my family that can stand as the head. Man of God, please, what should I do with the sacrifices required?
Oh, certainly. It is time to let them know that you cannot be part of that again. If that is the precondition, then you let another person take over that office for Christ's sake.
For Christ's sake.
For Christ's sake. You deny. These are some of the things. There are certain rights you have. There are certain privileges you have. For Christ's sake, you have to deny yourself that. You have to call all of them, the family, and tell them you are now a Christian. And the only sacrifice that you have is the sacrifice of the cross of Calvary. So, and it's higher than these ones you want to do. And I'm now bringing my faith to play in the leadership position you are giving me. And if they say, no, you can't do that, then you say, in that case, please appoint another person to be the head as I resign.
What if there are some repercussions in not doing
it? There can never be repercussion if it is for Christ's sake you are doing it. The only repercussion is that you face resistance, you face attack, but we are more than conquerors.
Hallelujah.
Through him that strengthens us, Christ.
Amen, amen, amen.
In fact, it's opportunity to convert your family. And let me quickly tell you, and if they don't accept you to come there, the family will never know peace. God will make sure they never know peace. The demons will be tormenting them. Then they will have to compromise and call you back. Then you will now say, come to my God. And that is when there will be like the Mount Carmel showdown. God will prove to them that he is stronger and better than that thing they are doing.
Amen.
Light will come, darkness will disappear. Stand with your faith. This is not the time to compromise for any earthly position. God bless you.
Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, next question. Shalom to the bride of Christ. Sir, I watched one of the messages of March 2014 that was rebroadcasted, titled Correct Water Baptism. Even though a brother was trying to argue with you, not knowing he was arguing with the Bible, though I was baptized by immersion, but after the message, I was 100% sure, convinced, after all the Bible references. These are my questions. What should I do if my pastor refused to rebaptize me? Is it biblical to rebaptize myself? If no, can it hinder me from making heaven? Brother Tolu from Abuja.
Not only Tolu, but anybody watching me at all around the world, you meet your pastor and refuses to baptize you, give us a call and let us know your location. I will direct you to the nearest pastor around you that can baptize you. We Amen. Are many that have caught this revelation. And even now, he's from Abuja, right?
Yes, sir.
So we have people in Abuja that can baptize you.
That's true.
So just send us a text that you want to be baptized, you are in Abuja. And any other person from Abuja, you're watching us, send us a text and we'll direct people. But a lot of people have been baptized even in Abuja.
That's right.
So let us know that you want to be baptized and we will do that. Okay. People are going out of religion and moving on with revelation. God bless you.
Okay, any request on how you can correct your water baptism, send to the number that ends with 8026. And you get a reply on the nearest person to you that could rebaptize you.
Yes.
The number through which you are reaching us for this question and answer program, 8206. Send a message to that number on how you can rebaptize yourself in any location in Nigeria. And by God's grace, we'll look for the nearest pastor to you and
in
send
any country
to you.
At all around the world.
In any country around the world.
Anywhere in the world.
Amen. Amen. The bride is worldwide.
We are worldwide.
Hallelujah.
If you are in America, Amen. Let me know.
Yes, sir.
Which state you are in.
Amen.
If you are in Canada, let me know where you are.
Amen.
If you are in Japan, let me know where you are.
Amen.
If you are in Israel, let me know where you are.
Amen.
If you are in Kuwait, let me know where you are. If you are even in Saudi Arabia, let me know where you are.
Amen.
If you are in Dubai, UAE, let me know where you are. In any country in Africa, let me know where you are. Even in the Philippines, let me know where you are.
Hallelujah.
And in the Caribbeans,
amen,
let me know where you are. We will direct you to where you
amen.
Are baptized. All over the world.
Amen.
God bless you.
Hallelujah. Okay. Shalom, church. I want to first thank God for Bride Assembly Church. More grace. And God bless you, Pastor Moses Alu. Today is my first time of asking question. A church we are attending before they used to sell food, sweets, water, etc. So we asked them, why are they doing that? They said it is to support church rent and other things. My husband told them it's not right to do business in the church, that Jesus Christ don't like it. They say why Jesus destroyed where they are selling is because it's hour of prayer and for their own profit. Please throw more light, sir. Sister Queen Obire from Spain.
Well, the truth is, if they sell anything there to raise money for church needs,
okay,
you know, I see nothing wrong in it as long as it is not being presented to be a precondition for your answer, I mean, for your prayers to be answered, which is what I tried to bring out in the sermon I titled Anointing for Sale.
Mm.
But they have any other thing, a commercial side, that are churches that have commercial ventures that help them have more income into the church to meet the needs of the church. I see nothing wrong in it as long as that business does not interfere directly or indirectly with the worship of God. But if they take advantage that people come in there and there are things that they will need and they make it available and they sell it, and not to make some excess profit on it, just enough for them to have, prevailing. After, if you don't buy from there, you go outside and buy anyway, such things that you need at the same price. I see nothing wrong with it. But Christ did not come because it was hour of prayer. No. It was because they replaced the worship of God with business inside the temple. And where you come together to worship inside the hall is not where you transact that business. It must be some shop somewhere else, you know, around, but not in that place that's dedicated for prayers. You don't sell anything there. But if you create a shop outside, you know, where people can buy what they think they will need, there's nothing wrong about it. Very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as the profit is not going to the man of God, to the individual, but it's coming to the church, because the capital will have been part of the funds from the church.
Mm-hmm.
To bring more, because like they said for the payment of the rent of mm-hmm. the place. You know, if they had good source of income to be paying the rents over there, nobody will venture out there to have
selling
any means
anything.
Of bringing money. And I think that is better than coming to deceive you that if you want your prayer to be answered, buy this anointing oil, 1,000 euro, and then your life, you will not die that year, and things like that. That is wrong.
Amen. Anointing for sale.
No.
Okay. Well, if you have not heard that sermon, if you have not listened to it, please download it straight away. Brother Ben is calling us from Benue State. God bless you, sir. You're on air.
Good evening. Shalom from Moses from Lumine.
God bless you too.
Yeah. Please, I've had a teaching on water baptism, and by the grace of God, I've corrected my water baptism.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm clapping for you. I'm clapping for you.
Much.
Amen.
There's a question I want to ask. It says on your teaching that I had some time ago, and it's from the book of Matthew chapter 19 verse 9.
Yes.
And that's relating to marriage and divorce. I
yes.
want to ask something. Is it possible for a married woman or a married man to commit fornication? Why I'm asking this, I have a divorce issue, and it's taking some years. I'm a member of Watchman, and they, you know, their doctrine concerning
yes.
this. So, like, I've been bound and tied since then. So, when I had a teaching, I said, let me ask you this question. Please, I want you to give me a detailed answer. So I know what to do.
If I get your question very well, you want to know, can somebody commit fornication?
Married man.
Can a married man commit fornication? Is that what you're saying?
A married man, a married woman, yes.
Yes. Fornication. Let's see the way he put it there again.
And I say unto you,
yes,
whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication,
uh-huh,
and shall marry another, committeth adultery.
Uh-huh.
And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery.
Watch what that place is saying. There are two words used there. Mm-hmm. There is fornication, and there is adultery. Now he said, whosoever shall put away his wife, you can put away your wife only if you catch her in fornication. Fornication here is sexual sin. You catch her, sleeping with another man. Now, if you put her away, the sin she has committed is fornication. Now, and then he said, but if you now, you put her away, except it be for fornication, and you go and marry another woman, he said, you'll be guilty of committing the sin of adultery. And whosoever also will marry her, which is put away, is also guilty of the sin of adultery. So what is adultery and what is fornication? Adultery is you having a living wife and you are going to marry another woman. It must be marriage. Mm. Living with that woman, marrying another woman, that action, what you are doing is adultery.
Mm.
But the two of you are still husband and wife, and either of you goes to sleep with another man, not in marriage, it is called fornication. But adultery is living with a woman, you know, when your own, another woman, when marrying another woman, when you have a living wife, that is adultery. There must be marriage involved. But fornication, no marriage is involved.
Okay, sir, thank you so much. One more thing, my wife divorced, she had a child for another man. When we achieved, she was pregnant for another man, then she went to court, divorced me. And then since then, even though we tried, made efforts to bring her back, pastors have spoken to her, family members have spoken to her, I feel like it's over her dead body. So I don't know, my church found that, you know, me going to marry another woman. So I had your teaching, I said,
Brother Ben, can you hear me? You can hear me.
Yes, I'm hearing you.
Now, while you were married to her, she went out there and fornicated and even got pregnant for another man, correct?
Yes.
And therefore, you put her away.
I didn't put her away.
She ran away with another man.
She just packed her things out of my house and went to the next thing is called divorce.
So she has broken the marriage vow. According to this scripture, standing on the scripture, you are free. You are free to marry another woman. And your church doctrine is contrary to the Christian doctrine. So if you had driven her away for any other reason, then the church will have insisted you bring her back. Then, if you refuse and you want to marry another woman, you'll be guilty of adultery.
Okay.
Now, your own case, you even, despite that, you know, you want to be so right until your church, you want to follow your church doctrine, you believing that they are teaching you Bible, and you still went to her and asked her to come. She's over her dead body, she's not coming back. And your church is telling you should remain like that. Ha!
Bondage.
That is bondage. What type of teaching is that? Where do they get that type of teaching?
Over 10 years.
12 years.
12 years.
12 years, brother. You are loose from that bondage in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Do you even know that in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 24, do you know that scripture in Deuteronomy 24?
Yes, I love the Bible and everything about the marriage and divorce.
Do you know what Deuteronomy 24 says?
Yes.
What does it say?
It's an abomination to bring such a person back.
Thank you. So they curse you. if they curse you, I break that curse in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
And if you are tied, because you are tied to your church doctrine, now the word of God lose you today.
Amen.
Go and marry this time in the Lord.
Sir. Wow.
God bless you.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
12 good years.
That is why God has raised the Bright TV. It's a restoration ministry.
Wow. Sponsors of Bright TV, you can see what your offerings are doing. And we pray that God will keep multiplying this seed of righteousness you've sown.
Amen.
God bless you. 12 Amen. Good years, sir, of being in bondage.
The woman is there enjoying herself. And they've forgotten that 1 Corinthians chapter 7 tells us, if they unbelieving
depart,
you're free. If you are no more under, but which bond? It's the marriage bond that you are in before. You are no more under that bond. Therefore, you are free to marry. Do you know some of these end-time preachers teach the same thing along that line? People who don't understand grace, then they will be applying their...
Only God knows how many people will be in such condition.
Yes, only God knows how many people will be in that type of, bond. And I hope that God will cause, I pray that God will cause some of them to listen to us and receive their freedom.
Knowledge is power. Knowledge has just set Brother Ben loose from 12 years of bondage. Are you having any confusion about marriage and divorce?
And if you disagree with me, with my position, call me and let me hear your argument by the scriptures.
Okay.
Yes.
Please get the topic, the message, marriage and divorce, or marriage and remarrying, Christian marriage and divorce. Visit our website and message archives and download all you can on Christian marriage. It will establish you. Please don't allow yourself to suffer bondage, being bondage unnecessarily. God has provided solution for every marriage problem through this word of God.
Even in case there's somebody watching us for the first time, it even includes if before you came to Christ, you married more than one wife, and then now you come to Christ,
should divorce the other one, stay with the first one. Restitution.
And that's restitution. That's another very wicked doctrine. Very wicked doctrine.
Amen.
You know, it's there's no scriptural base for that.
That's right.
No scriptural base for that. That has scattered families. That's why you see me speaking with a very angry note on my voice. It's wrong. You know, people use their idea to preach grace. People don't understand grace. People don't understand mercy. That's why they carry stone. They want to stone Judas, even as he's in the grave. You know, people don't understand God's mercy. Don't understand grace. Don't understand how the Gentiles came into the salvation plan of God. And then they come with their ideas and then teach restitution. But they don't even know the meaning of restitution as it affects grace. What is restitution? When you match it with grace. How do you apply that? You must apply it properly.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. More grace, sir. Okay. Shalom to you, sir. Sir, in the light of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 2 Corinthians 6:16, is there any different person between Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost? Brother Onyeka Oyome from Kaduna.
Whether it is Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, it's the same thing. We're talking about the Spirit of God released to us through Christ Jesus.
That's Amen. All. Hallelujah.
The same thing.
Okay. Next question. Shalom, Pastor. My name is Kunderene Masa from Cameroon. God bless you, sir. My question is, believing God cannot be equal with angel. Who was he talking to in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26? 2, how many heavens do we have? Because in Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 2:4, okay. 3, was Satan existing before the creation of man? More grace, sir. Okay, first question.
First question is what?
Who was God talking to in Genesis 1:26? Let us make man in our own image.
Who was God talking with? It's angelic family.
Okay.
It's with his angels.
Second question, how many...
If angels are ministering spirit to us, they are certainly ministering spirit to God too.
Amen.
Yes.
How many heavens do we have? Because in Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 2:4, it's Bible references.
Well, we have what they call the third heavens, mm-hmm. which Apostle Paul made reference to. And when we talk about the heaven, we are talking, there is the physical, that applies to physical, which is the atmosphere above the earth, is called the heavens. Mm. But there is also the heaven that refers to the spirit realm.
Amen.
And I believe from those statements, you then know that they are in various realms. Mm. And so when Apostle Paul said the third heaven, I believe he's talking about a third realm of the heavens.
Amen.
But this time is spiritual.
Amen.
Thank you.
Also, sir, the Greek words also vary. There's the heaven that speaks of the clouds.
Exactly.
And there's the heaven that speaks of God's presence.
Exactly. Yes, that's sir. Why I say there are the spiritual and physical.
Yes, sir. Okay. Third question. Was Satan existing before the creation of man?
Certainly. He was.
Amen.
He was in the Eden.
Okay.
Yes.
Shalom, sir. I want to appreciate the grace of God in your life. Please, sir, can you throw more light on Romans chapter 1, verse 11? Can one impart a gift into another person that did not have that gift from birth just because he or she desires it? Brother Tony from Jalingo.
The impartation Apostle Paul is talking about, just you quote verse 11, you did not quote verse 12.
Mm.
So the verse 12 makes you understand verse 11. Let's read it. Romans 1, chapter 1.
11 and 12.
Yes.
For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me.
When he says that I may impart here unto you some spiritual gift, he's talking about sharing a knowledge.
Amen.
It's sharing.
Mm.
And the purpose of that sharing, of what he wants to impart, is a knowledge, if a partition. He says, to the end ye may be established.
Amen.
And ministry, take it, boah, and you fall down and begin to see vision, does not establish you.
Amen.
In the kingdom. Mm. It is a knowledge. And see, the reason for that is verse 12.
Mm. That is, that I may be comforted together with you.
By what?
By the mutual faith, both of you and me.
Faith, understanding, revelation. Mm. You know, so that we will walk together, because there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So that I will not be going right, you are going left. And that is what he made commented concerning Titus in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 18. To get the picture properly, before you get to verse 18, read from verse 16.
Okay. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile.
Uh-huh.
Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you?
You see, did he send them to go and collect tithe and offering and send it to me? When I sent you, Brother Godwin, John, Pastor Godwin, John, to Akwanga, to Pastor Akwanga Church, did I send you to Akwanga to go and collect tithe and offering and send it to me in Lagos?
No.
What did he say, verse 18?
I desired titles, and with him I sent a brother.
Now, note what he said.
Did titles make a gain of you?
Did he make a gain of you?
Walked we not in the same spirit?
When you see him, the way he serves, it's not the same way you know about me.
Walked we not in the same steps?
In the same steps? By that impartation of that blood. That's what he wants to share with them. It is not take it, tower, and then, I open your eye, then you rub your eye, begin to see vision. That's not what that scripture means.
Amen.
God bless you.
True impartation. Thank you so much, sir. You can get that exhortation. All right, brother, Chukwe Buka is calling us from Enugu State. God bless you, sir, on air.
Okay, my question is that I have my uncle who is married, and they married as Christians. Both of them wedded in the closer church, and they lived for some years. After a while, the wife developed a particular character. Mm. And that character made her, she's no longer permissive to the husband. And she even went to the level of saying, that the man should cook for herself, himself, and she will cook for herself. Every attempt by the family to bring her to herself is made. For about 3 years now, they don't even sleep as husband and wife. Any attempt from the husband, the woman is ready to stab him. So the man now is talking of remarrying. What will I advise him?
My advice to him, being Christian, is Mark chapter 10, verse 11. Maybe we go a little bit from verse 2.
Okay, Mark 10 from verse 2. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? Yes. And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. Mm-hmm. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept.
So divorce is not allowed, but go on.
But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh.
Yes.
So then they are no more twain, but one flesh.
Yes.
What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder.
Now, note from verse 10 now.
And in the house, his disciples asked him again of this same matter.
The same matter as you are asking now.
And he said unto them,
yes,
whosoever shall put away his wife.
Whosoever you putting away your wife.
And marry another.
And marry another.
Committed adultery
against
her.
You are committing adultery because you are now living, you have a living wife and you are now going to marry another woman. It is called adultery. And then, the woman has put away the next verse.
And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committed adultery.
The same thing. Now, listen very well. Now, for them to have married, they live for some years together, and suddenly that woman begins to act like that, you need the two of them to sit down and listen. Something went wrong somewhere that now is producing that type of rebellion from that woman. And issues should be addressed rather than looking at the reaction. Before there is a reaction, there was an action. There cannot be a reaction without an action. So why not to look at what causes that reaction?
Personally, I personally have waded into the matter.
Yes.
Tried everything to talk with the woman. He said she had made up her mind that the man must suffer in life. What did he do? She could not make any reasonable sense. Even the man said that an attempt to sleep with her, the woman now drew her right through his private part, as if to say he want to kill him.
Yes.
So the thing was so bad to the extent that the woman even took an oath that if you are forced, she submitted her body to him again. Instead of that, let her die.
There is something that woman and that man is not telling you.
Okay.
There is something that man and that woman is not telling you. That man has offended the woman. And she expects the man to realize it and be honest and say it himself, what he did to her. And instead, he is, hiding it and then touching the surface. And the woman's reaction is a way until you open up and say to yourself what you did. That's making me act like that. But also, if that woman, if I were to see that type of woman, if that woman were to come to me, I will also tell her, I would not be speaking with her with the wisdom of man. I will be speaking, thank you, Jesus. I'll be speaking with her with scripture for her to see that there's something that God expects of her and to know the consequence of taking that position, even when the man is appealing to her to forgive.
The man has appealed to her several times.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes there's no proper forgiveness until there's a confession and acceptance of a wrong done. But whatever it is, I am sorry, from the scripture, he cannot divorce her because the only reason he can divorce her in this is peculiar position, situation, condition. The only reason is fornication, and he has not caught her in fornication. Therefore, He will continually pray. And like John will tell the Pharisees and Sadducees, say, bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. He is to prove to her that he actually is sober and really wants peace by his actions and not forcing her. And the wife is not happy with him. How can he have a conjugal relationship with him? So it's only normal. There's a spirit that needs to be calmed down. The woman is not happy with him. And the woman didn't pack away. Did she pack away?
We've lost him.
We've lost your call. If she did not pack out of the house, it is evidence that she's just waiting for the day the man will confess. Mm-hmm. And she will continue their relationship. Something is wrong somewhere. And tell your brother to be in prayer. And God will step down and bring peace to that family. But he cannot marry another woman. He will be jumping from frying pan to fire. Wow. Before God. Do everything. Pursue peace with your wife. That is the position of the scriptures in this situation. Mm. God bless you.
Sir, are you saying marriage in deceit is not applicable in this
No, case? They stay for many years. What is deceit? They may have even be having children. So what is deceit there? Mm. There's nothing deceit here.
Okay.
Maybe he deceived her. And she's reacting.
Okay. All right. Shalom, sir. My name is Charles from Imo State. So I pray for people and things happen. But in my own case, I don't see results. Please, sir, I need your advice. Thanks for the messages you preach.
If you say you pray for people, if you pray for people and they receive results, but when you pray for yourself, there's no result. One of the reasons will be God's own way of telling you that you too should meet other people to pray with you so that you will not begin to arrogate to yourself some special grace and special anointing, and pride will come in. So what you do is when you pray, you also go to other people that have the grace needed to join you in that your prayer. It is to produce humility. Sometimes it happens. And sometimes too, depending on what you are praying for, you know, remember that we are called according to God's purpose. If there is a purpose of God in your life and whatever you are praying is goes contrary to the purpose of God in your life, he will not answer you. So always know that we worship God by faith, and even God's silence is answer to us.
God's silence is answer.
And we continue walking with him.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Even God's silence is answer.
I know a brother that, in fact, he brought his wife to me for prayers, you know, last week. And when he brought his fruit of the womb, and a particular problem the wife has. And when they came, I laughed. I said, but every woman that this fruit of the womb, you pray for, they conceive. What of your one? He said, I don't know. I don't know why you. And I said, that is how our God works. He's so mysterious, and some things he does, you just can't understand. But let it not affect our faith. I said, maybe God wants to use another person for that purpose. And then I took over the case to join him to pray.
Amen.
It happens.
Amen.
What of Apostle Paul? Even handkerchief, you know, from him was healing. Demons were going. Miracles, signs and wonder, his shadow and everything. But here he is with his problem in his eyes that he called a messenger of Satan. A thorn in his flesh to buffet him. And he said he called upon the Lord. How many times?
Thrice.
Three times. And when he said he commissioned three, that means he didn't just say in Jesus' name. He must have undertaken a prayer program for that. Three times. And all that God will answer him is, I have had you go. I have had you go. Until maybe after the third time, because after that he didn't pray again. God came to answer him. And then he too caught the revelation that so that pride will not enter him because of the abundance of the revelation he had. So that he used it for God, used it to humble him.
That's right.
And he said his strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, so that we have that as an example so that we too will continue to walk with God if we find ourselves in the same situation.
Amen.
God bless you.
Wow. Thank you so much, sir. Okay. Shalom. Is it possible for a person without the Holy Ghost to pay with his or her blood and be accountable to be in heaven? But I find him from Lagos.
The reason for going to heaven is not us paying with our blood. There is a blood already that has been used to pay for us to go to heaven, the blood of Jesus Christ. So there is nothing about you paying with your blood to go to heaven. Persecutions, trials are part of the cross of Jesus. When the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 verse 11, what does it say there?
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb.
They overcame by the blood of the Lamb.
And by the word of their testimony.
Uh-huh.
And they loved not their lives unto the death.
Even unto the death, that is, they are ready to die. If that is what you mean, then should death confront you as a result of your stand, you will gladly take it. But you will not be going to heaven because you died. But it is because you believe and you stood on your feet.
Amen.
Bless you.
Okay. More questions coming in. Shalom, sir. Nelson from Ghana. Please, sir, will Acts 2 verse 19 and 20 come to pass before the rapture? Secondly, my wife had a dream that you came into her sitting room like a child and you are being fed. She was worried that you came as a child and not as a man. Please, we need lights. Thank you, sir.
Please, again, let's start the first one. 2 what?
19 and 20.
What the... Okay.
Acts 2, 19 and 26.
What does the question? Well, let me
hear
the question.
Will it come to pass before the rapture?
2 verse
19 and 20.
Read it.
And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come.
Listen very well. Apostle Peter was quoting Joel chapter 2. Mm. Let's read it. Now, there are two things. That's what he was quoting. Yeah, from verse 28.
And it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
Yes.
And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Uh-huh. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions.
Uh-huh.
And also upon the servant and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit.
Wait. Verse 28 and 29. That is why Paul says we should rightly divide the word of truth. Now, you will notice that verse 28 and verse 29 fulfills before verse 30.
Mm.
Now, verse 28 and verse 29 was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
So, now, verse 30 is what will be fulfilled after the rapture has taken place and you see the Antichrist tribulation the last 3.5 years of the last 1 week given to Israel after the rapture. The tribulation that takes place. Now, even after that tribulation, then verse 30 is ignited. We see that in Matthew chapter 24.
Okay.
Now, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 29.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be
darkened. Shall this verse 30 come to pass.
Amen.
What does it say?
Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken.
That is when this scripture will be fulfilled, verse 30 and verse 31.
Of Joel 2.
Of Joel chapter 2.
And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth.
Yes.
Blood and fire and pillars of smoke.
Yes.
The sun shall be turned into darkness.
Into darkness, you see?
And the moon into blood.
Yes.
Before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come.
God bless you. So what's our question again?
Is it before the rapture?
So it is after the rapture.
After the rapture.
Yes. And our second one, you saw
It's about interpretation of a dream. She saw you come into the sitting room.
Yes.
As a child and you are being fed.
Yes.
As a child. So they need more light in their own words. They want to
If I would give interpretation to that, the Lord Jesus Christ is announcing my greatness to you.
Mm.
You know what I mean, my greatness. Who is the greatest in the kingdom? They asked him. What was his reply?
Matthew 18.
Can we read it in the book of Matthew chapter 18. Number 18 from verse 1.
At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?
Uh-huh.
And Jesus called a little child unto him,
uh-huh.
and set him in the midst of them,
uh-huh.
and said, Verily I say unto you,
uh-huh.
except ye be converted and become as little children,
uh-huh.
ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Uh-huh.
Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as
humble
this little child,
himself as this little child,
the same is the greatest in the kingdom
that
of heaven.
Is, that's why I say, God, announcing my greatness. And what did you say you were doing to me?
You are being fed.
I was being fed. That confirms verse 5. What does it say?
And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me.
And verse 10?
Verse 10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little
Don't
ones.
Despise.
For I say unto you,
yes.
that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven.
So it's symbolically telling you that you should receive this humble servant of God.
This great servant.
And it does, your revelation... It fuels my faith to see that that is how God sees me.
Hallelujah.
The last thing any true child of God wants to be portrayed in the spirit as,
as
somebody who is proud. Thank you. That message is more for me than for you. God bless you.
Amen. Okay, more questions coming in. Shalom, sir. I need explanation of these scriptures. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. If one's name cannot be blotted out of the book of life, or of what need would God make this statement? Also, Exodus 32:32, Moses was telling God to blot out his name from the book if he will not forgive the children of Israel. God will continue to use you to open our understanding of the deep revelations of God.
I think I've answered that question several times. There's a book for reward, and there is a book for eternal life. You can remove somebody's reward, but you cannot remove eternal life from somebody that has been given eternal life. There are those that God has ordained unto eternal life. And nothing can change it.
Amen.
Because it's not gambling. He has seen that you will fulfill it. But the usage of the word book of life, book of life, book of life, you should also understand that that's an interpretation.
Amen.
So that you place it with other revelation to get a proper picture.
Okay.
Other scriptures, I mean, to get the proper picture.
Amen.
So, it is a book of remembrance. It is, after all, it was one of the kings under who Mordecai.
Yeah, Ahasuerus.
King Ahasuerus. There was a book of remembrance.
Amen.
Okay. That he wanted to reward.
That's right.
So, they brought the book. And you see that in Revelation chapter 20 also.
Okay.
And in Revelation chapter 20...
Yes, sir.
You will see that verse 12.
And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God.
Yes.
And the books were opened.
There are books opened.
Uh-huh. Another book was opened.
Another book was opened.
Which is the book of life.
Okay. And what happened?
And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works.
So according to their works. So Amen. It's a reward. I think that is clear.
Okay, we'll go on a short break, and when we'll come back, we'll continue our Bible study. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.